Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down and talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the Father Effect, Part 2.
This promises to be maybe the most raw and real podcast that we've ever laid down. While I was out, you guys did an amazing podcast titled The Father Effect, talking about fatherhood and the father wound and relating to your dads. And man, that podcast struck a nerve. We have heard from tons of listeners with questions and feedback. And Mike, what would you say like the average listener has been responding with? What's the provoking thing in that podcast?
Well, one is it was just with honesty, like they appreciated the honesty about a painful topic, like, you know, just the reality that we all have been affected by our fathers, and that because of the reality that we were talking about in that episode, it strikes a nerve with all of us because we either have had a father that has been present or absent or aloof or something, you know, but it's affected our lives. And I think everybody resonated with that. But then we just had a lot of people in ministry interested in the practical idea of having a specific ministry for men who have had rough goes with their fathers.
Dusty talked about this dad group that he has, and everybody wanted to know, how do I start one of those?
Yeah, yeah, I've had a couple of emails back and forth with some guys who are just like, hey, what books you read and what resources, what are you doing with these guys?
So since that podcast, in fact, roughly right on the heels of that podcast, your dad, Dusty, died. And so I asked you if you would take this podcast and if we could just talk about how you're processing that in the right now, because coming off of that podcast and being in the middle of a dad group right now where you're working with 8 or 10 guys talking about father issues, to have your dad pass away in the middle of that, and for you to be sort of working through the stuff that's stirring up, I thought would be really powerful for people to hear. And you were courageous enough and gracious enough to say, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's here we go.
Yeah.
Why don't you just talk about, like, man, where are you right now emotionally? Yeah. Like, what's going on in you?
Yeah. That's a good question. It kind of depends on the day. I would say I'm in a pretty decent spot emotionally with my dad dying. Yeah, since that podcast, but also right in the middle of this dad group idea that I came up with. And it's safe to say that I have been grieving my relationship with my dad for the last 3 years. And some could argue, you know, for the last 30 years. I was with a guy and he said, well, I mean, of course it's been a little easier because you've been grieving something that was supposed to be there for the last 30 years. And, you know, he said that in a sense of like, he doesn't really know what it's like, but there is something to the finality of death on earth that leaves you processing something for the first time. So even though I feel like I've been processing this in a healthy way for the last few years, there was a Tuesday, the Tuesday after I did this memorial, private memorial for my dad, I went home and said to my wife, my dad's dead. which we all knew. I wasn't giving her new information, but really what I was saying in that moment was, even though we've had this clunky relationship is what I call it. He's not coming around. There's always a little bit of hope. There's always a little bit of, hope, that things can be redeemed. Things can be changed. You know, probably not. That probably wasn't going to happen, but there's something about the finality of death on earth that makes you go, huh, that's over. That piece is over. So when the emotions come, I try to feel them. And when they're not there, I try to, you know, get back to work and do life and be present.
I just met with a woman in our church today who lost her husband last year, and you did that funeral, and he was a godly man who had a great legacy. And so there was a sense of like, it was sad to lose him, but there was a lot of celebration and a lot of, you know, it was one of those funerals where you kind of, everybody's remembering a pretty good story. Man, what's it like to grieve a story that's not like that, that doesn't have the redemptive components of that? You know, you're grieving a father who really wasn't very present in your life. And when he was present, there was some ways that was not helpful and good and honoring to the Lord. So what different tint does that put on grief?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's important to be honest when we're grieving. I think when somebody dies, we try to believe the best, and we also try to almost fake ourselves out a little bit. I see people do this a lot at funerals or when they're dealing with grief. But I actually think it's really important to be honest. Mike, you were there. I did this private family memorial service, and during probably a third of the service, I just spent saying, "Hey, we all know why we're here. We're here because of addiction. We're here because a handsome blonde teenager became an alcoholic and died at 59. That's why we're here." So I think it's important in our grief to stare down why we're grieving, you know? And there's obviously that's more sad. It seems harder than dealing with, you know, to the situation that you're comparing it to, like this godly man. It's different, but it's still important to say, actually, there was some situations with this particular guy, my dad, that people were nervous about. And we need to grieve that. That's who he was to some people. He was intimidating. He was manipulative. There were some things that were just hard about being around him. That his presence brought. So I think it's important to be honest about that. You know, what was interesting though too was I realized I stood up there, and right when I got up there, I'm looking out at all my aunts and uncles, and I was thinking, man, I've only had to deal with the last 30 years of this. They remember this little boy growing up. So as hard as it's been for me, it's actually been harder for some others, you know, in some ways.
Are there any different ways in which you're processing your relationship with your dad differently? You have been processing that relationship for quite some time, which is the point of the last podcast. Is there any way which on the other side of his death, there's new categories or any different pieces to that, or not quite yet?
Yeah. You know, obviously we're left with the mysterious eternal question mark, which was just the reality of my dad's spiritual life. There was a particular Monday where he was in the hospital. It was actually really sweet. I felt like there was 11 days where he was in the hospital leading up to his death. And 4 weeks prior to that, he was in the hospital for another 11 days. And I actually thought he won't be back in the hospital based on his lifestyle right now. But he was in the hospital for 11 days leading up to the day he died. And it was kind of a redemptive time for a father and son. It wasn't really redemptive for spiritual reasons, but it was a really sweet time that I feel like the Lord granted me to be able to show up, which has been part of the theme of my year of just showing up. I feel like there's a lot of honor that happens in people's lives when you just show up for things. And there was a particular Monday on one of those 11 days that I felt like, man, I really got to enter in with my dad here and have some spiritual conversations, even though he had told me about a decade ago not to talk to him anymore about God, which is difficult when you're in ministry. That means you're not talking about your work. You're not talking about a lot of things. And you're obviously just not talking about what means the most to you. The thing I'm processing afterwards is kind of the eternal question mark. But really that has also given me a clear conscience, based on the courage that I had to muster up in the power of the Holy Spirit that Monday night. But also, Bob, it's ushered me into, there's a lot of mystery in the Christian faith, that we we would like to be more sure of. And man, I'm not sure about a lot of things, this side of death for my dad. He was baptized as a young boy, had a quick couple of years in the church, but then based on the fruit and the life that he led, he did not lead a Christian life. So anyway, he was welcoming to the conversation. He asked me what I thought about God. I was real straightforward with him, in a loving, honorable way. He did not want to pray. He did not want to take that much further. So that was hard, but I also felt like, well, I think the Lord's being honored here somehow.
Dusty, what does it look like for you as a son grieving the loss of a father to be a father in this time?
Yeah. That's a really interesting question, Chris, because it was a really kind of, it was this like bipolar type of weekend that we had, because it was Easter weekend. My dad died on a Thursday, and the next Friday is Good Friday, right? And then you have Easter. Our oldest son is 15, and he was getting baptized. He had decided to get baptized over the last couple months. Writes this beautiful conversion story. And the way that he's wired is we had to give him a lot of space and time to make that decision. So I have this beautiful fatherly moment happening, right? Meanwhile, I have all this grief happening that I'm trying to welcome. So there's this intense celebration that is kind of a once in a lifetime type of celebration. Then there's this like once in a lifetime sadness, all in a millisecond, you know? So what I have felt, Chris, is, what I felt is the Lord's presence saying, see, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing now. And, see, I got this. I'm changing things. This is where we've been. This is where you've come from, but this is where we're headed. And I'm going to let you participate and watch. And this is the new work that I'm doing. So it's been really sweet, to do both, to try to, be sad appropriately, and try to honor my dad all the way out, which I've tried to do. There was moments in my life where I definitely didn't do that. But then there's also this sweetness that comes with the Lord is doing something new. And it's like amazing, you know? So yeah, that's what it's been like to be a dad. And it's also been important to like be sad about my relationship with my dad in front of my kids, even though they can't compute it because it's just so much different, you know, for them. But, yeah, that's kind of what it's been like the last couple of weeks.
What's it been like for JC walking with you through this?
I'm not sure. She's a lot stronger than me. But I think, she just keeps encouraging me. You know, we've talked before about how, trying to create a spiritual heritage from scratch, there's so much dependence on the Lord for that. But she is like my number one cheerleader. So, and she hasn't felt the greatest, you know, through this whole process. So I was able to be present with my dad twice a day, those 11 days he was dying. And she never, she would always say like, yeah, go, like you need to go. Cause I would say, I think I need to go. And she would say, yeah, go. And I never knew. It was just weird. You know, I didn't have this like deep connection with my dad that felt like I need to go have this last moment with him. So she sacrificed some time there and some space with kids, et cetera. But she just encouraged me a lot, to do the right thing. She's really proud, obviously. But man, she's just a killer encourager. So she keeps encouraging me cause I'm really unsure about a lot of things. You know, part of me wants to do it right. The other part of me, has no idea what I'm doing. So she just really encouraged me.
I'm thinking of listeners to this podcast, like those who have written in over the past few weeks, and realizing that some of those men are younger in their maturity and in life. And you seem like you're at a place where there's a pretty healthy, both grief and ability to tell the truth about your dad, to not, you know, not whitewash things, but say, hey, here's what the relationship was like, but here's how I'm trying to honor him. What would you say to listeners who are actually where they're at is more anger or frustration or resentment toward their dads? They're just like, he didn't show up. He wasn't there. He's not the dad he should have been. And they haven't yet moved to the place of that's sad to me. And it's more like I'm just annoyed or frustrated or bitter. You know, what do you say to that person to help give them a vision of that they could be at a place that's a little more like tender rather than hard?
Yeah. Let me answer that with a brief story. In 2016, I was with a group of guys and we were processing some stuff together. We're applying the gospel to each other's lives. And I had just helped a guy in this group bury his son. And I had been coaching him on how to be sad and how to enter in and how to grieve. And part of that is like, I'm doing that. And at the same time, I'm thinking, I never want to do this. I can't imagine doing this. I never want to bury my kid. You know, all this, you know, you're doing the pastoral work. And meanwhile, you're humanizing yourself going like, oh Lord, please never let this be me. That guy was in that group. And I had talked briefly about my relationship with my dad in this group. Mike, you were there. And he was actually the one that said, man, that just sounds really sad. And there was a piece of me that never allowed it to be sad. Anger, frustration, bitterness, like you mentioned, Bob, yes. But sadness, no. And there was a time, I said this at the memorial service too, there was a time where like a few years ago, before the January of 2016, where if my dad would have died, I would have been okay with it in anger and in frustration. But I also knew, I knew enough about humanity that that wasn't right. And so to not be sad about that was going to be a problem, right? So I knew that there had to be growth. But him challenging me on that, Mike, you were there, you said some things, one other guy said some things of just like, you're not being sad about this. and I remember thinking like, well, no, I'm not going to be sad about that. And what it felt like for me was to be sad about this relationship was to give my dad rights back that he didn't deserve, that he was not worthy of. What was also interesting was the frustration was there. I would call it frustration because anger sounds worse, but it's anger, right? And like we have that stuff in us because anger just shows us what we care about, yep. Right? That's what it is. It's an emotion that God gives us to show us what we care about when it's healthy. But we're tricking ourselves if we act like that's the end game. We've got to get people around us, the maturity around us, the spirit around us in such a way that we get well-rounded and holistic. That's why I'm able to now have a clear conscience about that. That's 3 years fresh, you know? So I guess another safe way to say it is like, part of me felt like my dad died kind of 3 years ago because I was sad and lamenting this relationship that I should have had. But then when his death comes a couple weeks ago, it just puts the exclamation point on that in another sad way.
Is the way to move for the person listening who needs to move from anger to lament? It sounds like community was crucial for you in that and some guys who were in that with you. Is that the advice you'd give them is to just tell that story to some people who can listen well? Or what was the spiritual work you had to do to kind of cross that threshold?
Community is key in that, or it was for me. And it was surprising community, actually. The people who sparked that were there by the Spirit did the work through some people that I wasn't in community with all the time, actually. So that was a beautiful thing. But also, just the ability to look yourself in the mirror and say, this relationship matters and I have to stop acting like it doesn't matter. Like, you have to give weight to the relationship that you've tried to write off, that you've tried to say, oh yeah, like, you know, like there's a lot of people that will be like, yeah, my dad and I aren't connected, but it's no big deal. That's just a lie. It's a huge deal. And if you truncate it with that, you're going to be half a human, you know, like, especially if you're a man, you've got to, and then especially if you're a dad, like, if you're going to be healthy and contribute to culture and the church, you gotta figure that out. And it starts with realizing this relationship matters more than I maybe want it to, but it matters.
You wrote back to a podcast listener a few days ago, Dusty, and you had a whole list of books that you'd been reading or books that have been helpful to you as you've navigated both your own story, but to try to help other guys do the same. Would you get for sharing what have been the three or four books that you've found fruitful and useful in your journey here?
Yeah. A Place for You, which is by Paul Tournier. That's a book that's been helpful for me theologically. I'm not fully aligned there, but it's been really helpful. Surrender to Love by David Benner has been helpful. Again, you know, you gotta eat the meat and spit out the bones. Daddy Issues by Cole Brown has been helpful. Don't Google Daddy Issues. That's the wrong title for a book. So I was told that by another listener to not Google Daddy Issues. So don't do that. Maybe Google Cole Brown, who's a church planner that we support, who wrote a little book on that by Humble Beast. And then Father Hunger by Douglas Wilson has been really helpful. Like Father, Like Son, by Pete Allison.
Yeah, I don't know.
Allinson. I'm butchering his last name. Hopefully he's not listening, because Pete, if you are, I just wrecked your last name. I'm sorry. That's put out by New Growth Press, so you could just go there to find it. Yeah, some of those books have been really helpful. And, you know, here's the thing is there's no, like, one size fits all here. Another book that's been helpful that's not a dad book at all or a father book is Future Men by Douglas Wilson too, because it's talking about raising boys, but it's also talking, if you have my story, you start reading it through the lens of what you didn't have, right? And we have to be careful here. Like, we have to walk this line of, hey, we need to stare this down and deal with it, but you're also not a victim. So you don't get to wear that. You maturity says and invites us into, hey, let's face our story and deal with it. And at the same time, realize what God's inviting us into. And he's definitely not inviting you into victimhood. He's inviting you into maturity, sanctification, stewarding your story in a holy way.
I was just reading a book earlier today. The author was talking about the necessity of doing your own work. And what you just said reminded me of that, Dusty, in the sense that what you seems like you've done is to try to take responsibility for what are the gaps, the pains, the heartbreaks, the anger that I have to own, that I have toward my dad. Granted that he has his own, he sinned against me, he has his own problems, there's stuff that's his to own, but I've got to do the work to own what I'm feeling, experiencing, which seems like another way of describing that move from anger to lament is that there's a tendency anytime we're hurt to want to sort of like put that off on the other person, say, I don't have any work to do here. It's all their work to do. But taking responsibility for, but I do have responses and feelings and ways of dealing with this relationship that are mine to own and to sort of take before the Lord.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that if you're waiting for your dad to come around and apologize to you, you're going to be waiting a long time, right? So, yeah, there was a moment where I would have liked that, and then I realized that's not coming. So, but that doesn't mean I don't need to heal from this, right? So, yeah, that's important. The other part here too, Bob, that's important is, you know, there's a way to do this in such a way that we can also bring honor. Because the fifth commandment's not optional, you know? And you asked me, I think this was 2 years ago or a year ago, I don't know how long ago it was, but you asked me to preach on the fifth commandment. And I was like, oh, golly, could I get a different one, please? There's 10 of them. Could I get a different one? And, you know, there's a way to still honor your parents, and especially your dad, all the way out. Like, you can do it. And the Bible calls you to do it. And you can do it with the power of the gospel.
Dusty, last question. Is there anything in this that snuck up on you, you know, that in your dad's passing, that's sort of like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, but there it is.
Yeah, the sadness and the grief has actually snuck up on me. And I, as a, you know, I've mentioned this a minute ago, but like, what I'm actually really grateful for that. Like, when the sadness and the grief blindside me, I try to stay there. Because I've spent a lot of my life not going there and not knowing how to go there. And I know enough about humanity now to know that that's not healthy. So when that sneaks up on me, I'm like, man, I'm a human. Like, the Lord is doing work right now, right? Like, scripture's full of lament. So we have to welcome the stuff that blindsides us. And there's a moment, you know, months from now that could maybe happen, but it's going to wane. So for me, the grief and the sadness, it feels like a gift, because I was always aware, well, not always, but in my, when I was just in the frustration, bitterness, you know, oh, it's not that big a deal that I'm not connected to my dad. I have a heavenly father now, like all that rhetoric. I knew that something was off. I just didn't know what it was. And so, yeah, when I get blindsided with tears, sadness, you know, whatever it is, I'm just like, man, thank you, Lord. Like, I don't want to stay there, but it's a gift. And I think it's not a fun place to be, but we tend to get out of there too fast. And so, yeah, I would say that that's snuck up on me, and I'm pretty grateful for it.
Dusty, thanks for the gift and the honor of this conversation. You didn't have to do this. You could have said, let's wait a year. So, man, thanks for letting us into some very fresh and raw moments in your story. Mm-hmm. And it's just been really beautiful to me, and I think helpful. So thank you.
Yeah, glad to do it.
This is the part of the podcast where Mike usually says this line. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. And that really is the reason we talk about these things, is we're just actually doing ministry in our own contexts. And so we think we just want to serve the people that God's called us to shepherd well, which is the reason for sort of going into raw personal stories like this and saying, hey, here's where we're currently at. For those of you that listen in on the outside, thanks for listening in. Thanks for eavesdropping on this conversation. And I know that this in particular, because of the emails we've received over the past 3 or 4 weeks, I know this topic in particular is helpful to many men out there who are trying to walk a similar path and a similar story. So thanks for writing in, and we pray this is helpful to you in whatever ministry you're engaged in, whether that's in a local church or just trying to lead your family. Whatever you're doing for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom. Thanks for listening in.
As always, we love to hear from you, the listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topic ideas, send us an email, podcast@cdomaha.com. And we hope that you join us next Wednesday for another Wednesday conversation.